بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، ما بعد. Continue the muzakara of the sunnah of Hazrat Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which is the essence of our life and the only way to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and how to lead our life. Allah has sent the most beautiful practical example. So it is foolish to follow any other way of life besides the lifestyle of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And a person who doesn't follow sunnah, he'll find in his own life, he won't have peace and happiness. He won't be at ease. And the moment you come onto sunnah, automatically you'll feel you're having peace and comfort. And this is not an outward condition, it's a condition of the heart. So Allah give us tawfiq to realize this. We finish with regard to the sunnah of wuzu. And we'll carry on now with the sunnah of Azan and Iqamah. It is sunnah to face the Qibla while saying the Azan and Iqamah. Right? Facing our chest especially, facing towards the Qibla, our feet also facing the Qibla when saying Azan and when Iqamah also. It is sunnah to say the Azan with pauses after each phrase, while the sunnah method of Iqamah is to say it quickly. In other words, Azan, slowly, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, so then you stop, so people can reply to the Azan. And a person don't have to stretch the Azan also. Azan is not that the Azan that is stretched and a very beautiful voice. That Azan is against the Sunnah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. MashaAllah, here the Azan that is given so beautifully according to Sunnah of Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If we hear the Zohar Asr Azan, then we'll understand that how Azan must be given in that pace. That the first two Allahu Akbar you say, you stop. And Iqama, you say it quickly. The four Allahu Akbars together. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And the sunnah in Iqama is not according to the laws of Tajweed. That you don't say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. There you just say it as you say it in Azan, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Don't put the pesh on the dhamma on the ra and join it. Many people, they join. That is not the correct method. The sunnah method in Naqam also, although you're saying it together, but you say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. So that is how we should say the Azan and the Iqamah. And every, and also every letter should be clear and people must be able to hear it. Not sometimes Azan is given in such a way, you don't know what language the person is saying. And it is the responsibility of the imams, the mutawallis in charge of the masjid, that they should teach the muazzin the correct method if he is not making it correct. Otherwise we find so many years muazzin is giving Azan, but he is still not even taught how to give Azan properly. So like that also, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And not so long, illallah. So that is against the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we see even in Haramain Sharifain that takes place, and we think that is the best azan in the world. That is azan total against sunnah. When Abra al-Haq sahab rahmatullahi alayhi explained this, and in fact, when he went to Haram Sharif, he even wrote a letter and sent it to the office, and he says for a few days they correct it, and then they back to their normal. So this azan has to be given properly. Not stretching the Azan, our Shaykh, the beautiful example he gives, he says if your name is Ibrahim, for example, or Ismail, and somebody call you Ibrahim, well, you like that. So Allah's name we're pulling like that, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. So that is not the correct way. So the sunnah way, Imam Abra al-Haq sahab used to say, Akmal tariqah, it's a complete, perfect way of life. And not just perfect, ajmal tariqah hai. And it is the most beautiful way of life. And if you think it's perfect and most beautiful, it's kind of hard, ashal tariqah, it's the most easiest way. So we have to, and this is all part of tasawuf, and this is part of Islam, and all that our mashayikh teach us, and this is what we have come to learn, to bring the reality of deen. Otherwise we just see outwardly, and we go with the flow, and we think, hey, that azan is nice. Madina Sharif Azan, Makkah Sharif Azan. No, if it is given according to Sunnah, then it's nice. Whatever it's not according to Sunnah, there's no beauty in there. So Allah Ta'ala make us understand and realize. Further, with regard to just a brief explanation of the ash'ar, the poems that we read while making zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to build our concentration, devotion when making zikr, so that we can be conscious of Allah ta'ala outside of our life. And then when we come really inside, that is connected to Allah, in the darbar of Allah, then we'll be automatically conscious that where I have come. And this is du'as also, that when you're making your zikr, this is what we're begging from Allah ta'ala. We read this poem quite a bit already, the last portion of this poem, that we are begging Allah ta'ala, ata kar de wo mujhko apni mahabbat, main uske siwa aur kuch nahi mangta hu. Hey naraazgi jiski dozak se barkar, usi zaat ki bas riza mangta hu. That, oh Allah, bless me with your love. Besides this, I'm not asking for anything. Because your love is such that opposite to your love is your anger, your displeasure. And your displeasure is such that it is worse being thrown into a fire. If Allah is unhappy with you, and you're in the best garden in the world, you're in misery. And Allah is happy with you and you're in a fire, then you're in a beautiful garden. We saw Khalilullah alayhi salam. So like that, a person realizes as you make zikr, this realization has to come that Allah's unhappiness is worse than being thrown in a fire of on any fire. Even Jahannam, that many people think Jahannam is a terrible punishment. But actually, we deserve worse than that. How can you be breaking Allah's commands? That is the light. Allah is, as it is said so beautifully, when Allah said, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِيَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, my mercy encompasses everything. Shaitan also got happy. I'm also a thing. So Allah's mercy will cover me. But then Allah gave the details of the ayat in front. But Mashaykh Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali, what a shaykh of his time, he says, even so, at that time when he's thrown in Jahannam, still Allah's mercy will engulf him because he deserves a worse punishment. And Allah is still giving him lighter. So like that we should realize. And what is it, the reality, when you start making your zikr and you start getting connected to the Mashaykh, the eyes of the heart open, now you realize and you say, Asal mujhko dunya ki khayish nahi, me bakshish baroze jaza mangta hu. That, oh Allah, I'm not even worth this drop of your love also. I'm not worth anything. What I really want, I got no desire of this world. I actually want that on the day of Qiyamah, you just say, I have forgiven you. Allahu Akbar. Mashaykh Hazrat Thani Rahmatullah Ali says that, where, oh Allah, where are we fit to even enter Jannat? If you just forgive us, that is sufficient. But we should be learning and begging from Allah Ta'ala. So this is what zikr have to bring into our life. And this cause and this marifat which Allah has brought us here to learn, then we'll appreciate this great, great gift of salah, which we're learning what is the reality. And this is just a brief glimpse. We have to try and keep on repeating and learning this kitab and learn, and go over, listen to the series. But the main thing is to make mashq, to practice. And as we have to come regular from this, you could have understood that my cause of marifat and gaining the love of Allah, without that I won't even understand the ABC of life, that how I must live my life. This is actually, namaz will teach us the real essence, how to live our life. Allah give us tawfiq. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadi alladhina astafa amma ba'd. فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون صدق الله العلي العظيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are discussing, Allah gave us the opportunity and gave us the very, very grand opportunity to come in the darbar, in the court of Allah. Allah who is totally and independent, Allah who is the greatest. Allah Ta'ala says, وَرَبُّكَ الْغَنِيُّ ذُو الرَّحْمَةِ. O Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, your Rabb. And who is our Rabb? That great being who brought us from non-existence into existence. And then not just existence, Allah is leaving us. Every split moment, Allah is taking care of every creation of His. So that is Rabb. And that is why here particular, as we started reading our, presenting our case in front of Allah Ta'ala, our need in front of Allah Ta'ala, Allah taught us, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, that all praises, first of all realize, all praises that you can say in the world, whether a person wants to praise himself, which is not correct, or another person praises another person. Our Dada Sheikh says, Ghulam apni qeemat lagaye, to bewukuf hai. You are a slave and you're putting your own price. This is my price. Or another slave puts a price on you by praising you. And you think, I am that. That is not, that is totally worthless. And Allah, who is only worthy of praises when Allah praises Himself, and Allah praises Himself to teach us how to praise Allah. And that is still just a tip of the iceberg. And that is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us the dua. After praising Allah, we say, La usi sanan alik. La nusi sanan alik. Oh Allah, we haven't praised you. The whole world put together. Anta kama asnayta ala nafsik. You as if you praised yourself. You taught us all this word, how to praise you. Otherwise imagine, in the court of the kings of kings, you're just going for one interview and just a boss who's not, he's just got maybe one company. And now you're acting and praising him and saying words. And sometimes you're saying good words, but you're making a mess of yourself. So how would we, the whole world put together, would have never able to praise Allah the way Allah is supposed to be. And that is what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us. We haven't praised Allah. It is only Allah's praises. And Allahu Akbar. Allah's praises are beyond, although just in the name Allah, all is encompasses. All the praises of Allah you can think. Even Rabb is encompassed in the name of Allah. But for us to realize what connection we got with Allah. Like how we say our Amma, our mother, Allah made your mother the means for you to come in the world. So the closest person for you in the world is supposed to be your mother. And the one you suppose is to respect the most is your mother. She went through what difficulty. There's no time to go into all that detail. But that is what Allah teaches us. Even Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, three times, honor your mother. But Allah is teaching us, more greater than all the mothers in the world is your Rabbah. Who made all the mothers in the world? Who put all that love in the heart of the mothers of the world? And that is why our Dada Shaykh teaches us so beautifully that in this world sometimes, like children, they have an argument, they're playing and they have games, now they're fighting. So one child is bullied by the other child. So that child says, I'm going to call my Abba. I'm running to my Abba. So he ran. That other child was bullying. He got worried. Maybe this boy's Abba is going to come hit me. He ran to call his Abba. So then when this Abba, this boy that was bullied, his father was coming. Small man, very weak also. When he saw that boy's Abba is coming, was the bully, he saw he's a big, like a wrestler. He told his son, don't worry, man. That is child play, just now you were playing. Our Dada Shaykh says, for people like myself, that we don't have a Abba, our Abba has passed away. If we didn't have a Abba, how we should come in the world? Allah made the means that we needed an Abba to come in the world. But, so when we don't have our Abba with us anymore, Allah has taken him away, but we got our Rabbah. We turn to Allah. So let the whole United Nations come together. They can't come in front of our Rabbah. So that is our Rabb. So Allah Ta'ala, that is showing what connection. Allah has got such close connection with us. And Allah has given us this great, great opportunity. Now I have allowed you in my court. You greeted Allah with Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa tabarakasmuk wa ta'ala jadduk wa la ilaha ghayruk. Then you ask Allah, please move this enemy. He just likes to put spanners in the works, shaitan. So Allah Ta'ala taught us, read A'udhu Billahi Minash Shaitanir Rajeem. And now when shaitan is also moved, now you start your conversation with Allah. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Oh Allah, only out of the greatness of your name that you made me and you brought me in your court. Where am I? I'm not worth a speck. I'm the filthiest thing in the world. And you are allowing me in your court, Allah. And it is only your graces, your mercy, your special kindness. And then Allah Ta'ala taught us now, my Banda, I call you to present your needs, what you want from me. Ask and you'll get whatever you want from me. And where should we know how to ask from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Here even, and how to start asking from Allah. That is also important. That here we learn adab. Adab and adab is very important in our life. Etiquette, how to do things. We don't even know how to do things. We don't even know how to walk in the masjid. How to put our shoes straight, we still don't know. And then the adab, what respect, that if somebody elderly is coming behind you, you give way for them. That we don't even know all that. So much adab and adab we are taught, that even if you put your shoes in the rack, if it's facing Qibla, don't put it straight towards the Qibla. If there's no other place in another rack, put the shoes at a slight angle, that it doesn't face the Qibla. Whether it's facing frontwards or backward, don't face it towards the Qibla. So much we are taught. So here Allah is teaching us that what is the adab of asking Allah Ta'ala. First, praise Allah Ta'ala. And this is when you want to go to any person, Sana'ul Kareem, du'a'un, that when you're asking anybody, somebody which is called dua, what is the etiquette? That you go to a rich person, very rich, very kind, generous. You don't have to even ask him, I need this. You just start talking about his qualities. Hey, you are a person like this. You are such a great man. You are a generous man. Before you can ask him, he'll give you the envelope. And more than you expected also. Here is the kings of kings. Allah Rabbul Izzat. So etiquette of dua also. And how we see our whole essence of life. All ibadat. A dua mukhul ibadah. The essence of every ibadat is dua, begging from Allah. We are the slaves of Allah. And Allah Ta'ala said, if you love like my slave, what I will give you, you can't imagine. And to love like the slave of Allah, Allah sent Sayyidul Anbiya, Hazrat Nabi Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who is the king of both the world. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us that he loved like a humble slave. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Allah, give me my plate of food to eat. I say, Ya Allah, I don't deserve this. I'll sit like a humble slave on the floor. I won't sit on armchairs and relax and eat with a fork and knife. I sit like a humble slave. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to sit in the squatting position and eat. That is the sunnat position. Then next is at-tahiyyat position. Then you can sit with one leg up. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam before started eating, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. When Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed us this, the greatest position of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu. He is the slave of Allah. So to be the slave of Allah, when you humble yourself, Allah took Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from Mi'raj. Allah gave Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam his word. Allahu Akbar. Alhamdulillah, الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب. So this is to learn how to become the slave of Allah and how to beg in front of Allah. So first you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah's praises, and that also we don't know how to praise Allah. Allah's kindness. Allah asks us to ask Him, and Allah teaches us how to ask Him. And Allah says, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ اُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. You ask me and immediately I'll accept your dua. But we reading namaz for so many years, do I realize I'm begging from Allah? And what am I begging from Allah Ta'ala? So we begging from Allah Ta'ala. So first, and the etiquette of dua is that first you praise Allah Rabbul Izzat. And then you praise the beloved of Allah Ta'ala. You recite durood upon Nabi Akram Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But here when you're reciting Surah Fatiha, just still the praises of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. At the end of Salah, Allah brought durood again. So that whatever we ask Allah, in our unmindful state also, we don't lose out. At the end, we praise the beloved of Nabi Akram and the beloved of Allah Ta'ala. That Allah says, you're still thinking of my beloved. Never mind, you made a mess of your salah, I'll accept your salah. That is our kindness of our Allah. And then, after you praise the beloved of Allah, again acknowledge, Allah, I'm so faulty. I'm worth absolutely nothing. I feel shy to ask you. But oh Allah, you allowed me to come in your court. Now when you allowed me to come in your court, it means you want to give me. So express, ask forgiveness from Allah Ta'ala. And that we see at the end, the last dua that Allah teaches us, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught, the greatest personality, Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the greatest teacher, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the greatest ibadat, and what is their value? But what dua Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is teaching Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Allahumma inni zalamtu. So like that, the etiquette of dua, praises of Allah, durood upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then seek forgiveness, then ask your need from Allah Ta'ala. Then again end in that way. That read the prayer, the ask for forgiveness, read durood upon Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and praise Allah Ta'ala at the end again. So anyway, Allah Ta'ala is teaching us here, now you surrender totally, you put both the worlds behind you, and you acknowledge, oh Allah, I am the biggest sinner, I hands up, I have just come in your court, there's nowhere to go anywhere. وَمَنْ يَغْفِرُ الزُّنُوبَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Who is going to tell, who is going to forgive my sins besides you, oh Allah? Who is going to make my life right besides you? My mother doesn't want to see me, she says, get out of the house. Nobody wants to look at me. Oh Allah, your doors are open for me. And Allah opened his doors and Allah called us. Now Allah is teaching us, my banda, you don't know how to ask from me. Let me teach you. So Allah Ta'ala taught us what great humbleness. And humbleness is not what we think, as we learned in the lessons before. That sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Perform namaz as we saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam performing namaz. That is, you don't stand like a humble person keeping your... It's not an outward condition. Many of us, we putting humbleness, I must bow down my head. No, your head must be normal. Your eyes must be at the sajda position. Once Hazrat Umar is now saw a youngster, like we get Josh, we come in the khanka, we think we humble, we're keeping our head down, and slowly we go in ruku, slowly. No, go in your normal pace. Do everything in your normal pace. And do the, that is why we have to learn salah. Stand normally. Don't stand like you bowed down and you're very humble. That is not humble. That is a sign of a hypocrite. That inside you got no connection with Allah. But outside you're acting, everybody must think you're very pious. That is not humbleness. Hazrat Umar radiallahu used to walk with a stick. He saw one youngster bowing down his head. He poked him here by his chest and he said, "Attaqwa hauna." Taqwa is in your heart. Don't make your head like that. Stand up straight. So as we are taught by Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah, when Allah said, "Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli," Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us, "Ma ana ali wa sahabi," that after me, see my sahaba. After my sahaba, see the tabi'in. After them, see the tabi tabi'in. And till qiyamah, when Allah said, Allah kept the pious servants till today. So we have to learn from the pious servants how to perform salah, and those who learn from their elders. So that is how we'll know the etiquette. So you came with proper adab. You're standing according how Allah Ta'ala wants us. Although all our etiquette and adab, and if you got no respect in the court of Allah, if you got no respect by anybody, Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah, he said, "Bear adab, bear naseeb." That ba adab, ba naseeb. If you got to learn adab, etiquette, respect, Allah will grant you a lot. And if you don't have etiquette and respect, then you will be deprived. And worse, bad adab, bad naseeb. You've got bad character, then you'll be a wretched person. And many a time, because we don't have proper adab, we don't learn in the company of the mashayikh what is adab. And we have to teach our children this. In the early days, parents, your children used to be with them. Parents just had to look at them with one big eyes. They know I'm doing something wrong. Today your parents look at you with a big eye, you look at them with bigger eyes, but your eyes are small. So we have to learn what is adab, respect. And so, and that is also, we'll think why people are putting the sheikh's shoes right, etc. When you know what is love, and you know who taught you love, who taught you about Allah, then these things you don't even know what is supposed to tell you. But we don't know. That's why our sheikh teaches us. Teach your children also at home. Put my shoes straight. Not because you must think that I'm a big buzruk, but he must learn from here. And this is how we have to take. So bear adab many times. Without respect, you lose more than what you commit sin also. This will take you far away from Allah Ta'ala. So Allah Ta'ala taught us here that Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, as we explained all this. And then we came to the part now, you're saying, Maliki Yawmiddin. Malik Insaf Ke Din Hai. Allah is the owner of the day of justice. The day of Qiyamah is not a day to be scared of. We'll be scared of it when we didn't recognize Allah. It is that day when all justice is going to take place. And many people who don't know what is Qiyamah all about, we have petty arguments in this world. And then in that stage you tell a person he doesn't want to give you a ride. He says, "We'll meet up on the day of Qiyamah." He says, "Yeah, we'll see when Qiyamah comes." When Malaika used to shake, Anbiya used to shake when they're talking of Qiyamah, then where have we got the guts to say we'll sort out your matters here? In Qiyamah, to sort out your matter is just going to be misery. And Allah is that great king. And Allah is not the judge of the day of Qiyamah. Here the judge makes a mistake. They pass a sentence that you and I have to go to the gallows. Now you are worried. Now you still got opportunity, go and plead to the state president. Maybe he can turn the judgment around. By Allah, Allah is the owner of the day of judgment. And that is the day we'll realize that I didn't own myself, Allah owned me. So here this is the lesson to learn, that I own nothing, nothing belongs to me. I am the slave of my Allah. Everything Allah gave me to use, it's amanat, it's a trust. It's not my house, it's not my life, it's not my car, it's not my house, it's not my wife. Everything is a special gift for Allah to love in the world, to get close to Allah, to realize who is my Allah. And on that day, Allahu Akbar, if Allah wants to forgive the greatest sinner, nobody has the right to question Allah. And if Allah wants to take us to task, nobody has the right to say, "Ya Allah, you forgave him." How you? Allah, and Allah doesn't do anything haphazard. Allah is Al-Hakim. Allah is most wise. And Allah's judgment is so fair that even that day, Allahu Akbar, and that is when we have to realize that what am I? Not a speck. And this is what we learn. That tell yourself, Ya Allah, hal mein Abdurrahman tamam musliman se patter or kamtar or zaleel hai. Oh Allah, Abdurrahman presently in the world is the worst Muslim on the face of the earth. Or ma'al ke, as far as my end result is concerned, tamam kafir or janwar ke pakhana bhi se bhi patter. I'm worse than all the animals, worse than all the kafis and animals also, worse than their stool. Why? On the day of Qiyamah, justice will be in such a way that when a goat with horns has harmed a goat without horns, Allah will bring them back to life. And then Allah will give that other goat the horns and say, take your revenge now. That goat will get his revenge, the story will be over and they'll be turned to dust. That day the kuffar will realize, Ya laytani kuntu turaba. If only I was like this and turned to dust. And the greatest ummati, as Sayyidina Abu Bakr Rajna used to say, oh Allah, if only I was a bird flying around, and then you give me my rizq, and there's no judge, hisab for me tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah. So to realize this reality, that Allah and Allah's justice and fairness, we can't imagine. Now when you have realized, that is my Allah, that is who is my owner, automatically now you'll just say and think and we realize, we said, now you're in dialogue with Allah. This is not a monologue that you're just reading. Realize I'm talking to my Allah. Imam Shafi rahmatullahi says, when you started your salah and you started your qirat in salah and you take a qasam, I spoke to Allah and Allah spoke to me, your qasam is not wrong. It's absolutely, it comes clear in the hadith of Muslim Sharif. When you say, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Allah says, Hamidani Abdi, my servant has praised me. Allahu Akbar. And then when you say, Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim, again you said, Allah is most beneficent, most merciful. Allah says, Asna alayhi abdi. My servant has even understood who am I to a slight degree, that how kind am I, how merciful. We are existing out of the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Then when a person says, Maliki yawmi deen, Allah says, Majjadani abdi. My servant has acknowledged my majesty, that what my greatness is, that I am the owner of the whole world. I am not just in control. I own everything. Now when a person says this, Allah replies immediately. Now you go to a state that now you in the court of Allah, you are enjoying this discussion with Allah Ta'ala. And that is how much of ma'rifat we gain. How much of the love of Allah comes in your heart. And then we'll understand what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Qurratu ayni fi salah. The enjoyment and the coolness of my eyes is in salah. That is enjoyment of life when I'm talking to Allah. You're talking to the kings of kings. You talk to an ordinary. You just get few minutes with your sheikh and how elated you get. And then you come out, you know where I was with Hazrat, so many minutes. Here we were the kings of kings. And if we know how to talk to Allah Ta'ala, then Allahu Akbar, that enjoyment. Now you acknowledge in the court of Allah wholeheartedly, Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Tujhi ko hum bandagi karte hain aur tujhe se madad chahte. Oh Allah, we only your slaves. We only worship you. We won't turn to anybody besides you. First thing, I got a pain, not a which doctor can help me, which medicine can help me. Firstly, I turn to Allah Ta'ala. Allah gave us this Suratul Fatiha, Suratul Shifa. This is a surat for cure, physically, spiritually, everything. And here it is to learn to how to be the slave of Allah. Iyaka na'bud, stress. Oh Allah, only thee alone. And this is when we start, when we hear the start our namaz, Allahu Akbar. Allah, tu sabse bara hai. Tera hukam sabse bara hai. Oh Allah, only you the greatest. Your command is the greatest. Me aap hi ko manta hu. Aap hi ka manta hu. I only believe in you and I only accept your command. So now you're acknowledging this, that oh Allah, iyaka na'budu. Oh Allah, we'll only bow down to you. We'll only ask for you for our needs. And Allah will make the intizam. Allah will make the arrangements in this world that Allah made the asbab. So don't make your asbab your arbab. Don't make your means your God. That you first turn to your means and then you turn to Allah. First turn to Allah, and then Iyyaka nasta'in. Oh Allah, we want to be your slaves. We don't even know how to be your slaves. We ask your help, and Allah has taught us, ask me. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu sta'inu bisabri wassalah. Ask me whatever condition comes to you. Turn to Allah when you ask Allah Ta'ala. Turn to Salah and just make sabr and see that, in other words, sabr, be steadfast on the commands of Allah. And Iyyaka nasta'in, every split moment we in need of Allah Ta'ala. If Allah stop my oxygen for 1 minute, what's going to happen? I'm sitting here and talking. Allah brings one clot of blood in my head. Now I can't talk anymore. I don't know what's happening. Allah twitch one nerve of mine, and I think I'm going to play a game. You can't even get up anymore. Every split moment we're sitting now comfortably. Allah send one tornado and the roof falls down. Who is going to take us? Who is going to help? And Allah is saying, Allah is the one who's keeping the sky above us. It's not that it's just standing it's on its own. If Allah Ta'ala wants to love this command, and the sky have to come down, and when it's going to come down, that's what's going to happen. So every split moment, we are totally in need of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Physically, mentally, spiritually, everything. Allah Ta'ala, Allahu Akbar. As we were learning in front, that Allah Ta'ala, we need Allah for every split moment of our iman. Every minute, which second Allah can take away my iman. And that is why I have to acknowledge, oh Allah, as far as the animals also I'm useless. If my iman is gone at the time of mort, then the pig is better than me. Anything else is better than me. So when you realize that, now Allah is to say, Haza bayni wa bayna abdi. This is between me and my servant. On the one hand, he's acknowledging he's my slave. On the other hand, he realized that without my help, he can't even lift a finger. He can't even move his, can't even flick his eye and lift his eyelid. He needs me totally, 24/7. Every split second, we are in need of Allah Rabbul Izzat. And this is what Salah is offering us. That a person becomes a slave of Allah. Now Allah Ta'ala says, oh my Banda, ask from me. Now we don't know what to ask. We'll ask, oh Allah, I need another company. Oh Allah, I need that job. Oh Allah, I have to pass in my exams. Allah taught us the greatest need that you need, my Banda, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. This is your greatest need of life, for your dunya life, for your akhirat life, for every split moment of your life. What you need, my Banda, is ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Chala hamku ra sidi par, the sirat al-ladina namta alayhim. Then Allah Ta'ala gave the details. What is the sirat al-mustaqim you're asking of? Ra unki jin par tune fadal kiya. That, oh Allah, put me on that straight path. And what is the straight path? From one dot to another dot. That is a straight line. That's the straight path. Not you go all the dry keys and you want to go this road and that road. If you want to, if Allah Ta'ala says, La tattabi'u khutuwati shaitan. Don't follow in the footsteps of shaitan. That you first follow him and then you want to come to Allah. Don't learn the hard way. Come the straight way to Allah Ta'ala. Naqshe qadam Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ke hai jannat ke raaste. Allah Jalla Jalalu se milate sunnat ke raaste. Follow my guide. I stand with Allah. Is explaining the detail here. Who I send, I did. Quran Kareem is your GPS. It's your total perfect GPS. Somebody you ask him the road, how to guide me. And he gives you a detailed map. He'll write down, this is the landmark, this is the landmark, this is the landmark, everything. And then he'll say, okay, now today's time, mobile, I'll give you one cell phone. And I'll also talk to you on the line while you're going. And now he knows in 10, 15 minutes you must reach that place. And he's talking to you, yes, boss, I'm on the way. Yes, I'm here. After 15, 20 minutes, where are you now? He says, boss, I'm lost. Now what you'll say? This is an international ulu. So like us, Allah gave us, what is a GPS? Allah Ta'ala says, you're asking, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, zalika al-kitabu la rayba fi. Here's the details from the first letter till the last letter. Ya min al-jinnati wa nas, till that last scene, details GPS, how to lead your life. But and then Allah didn't just give it to us, that now understand Quran Sharif on your own. Allah sent the most perfect, his most perfect beloved being, to teach us exactly every dot how to follow Quran Kareem, how to reach Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala sent our beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which to explain the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was virtually impossible. What a magnificent, splendid life. Somebody asked Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala, what was the life of my beloved Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? She said, Allahu Akbar, kana khuluhu al-Quran. His character, his life was Qur'an-i Kareem. So Qur'an-i Kareem is our GPS. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed us every detail. Didn't leave one stone unturned. And today we're still getting lost. Then who we should blame? Allah says, وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامِ لِلْعَبِيدِ. Allah didn't oppress any of his servants. You oppress yourself. So we're asking Allah, put me on that straight path. Straight path is your matters of deen, your matters of dunya, whatever you want to do, you ask Allah, Allah will give you the proper way to do it. How must I do my business? How must I, which person for my, use the means? What means I must use? How I must use the means? All that. And Allah Ta'ala says, you won't understand it yourself, my banda. Which is that straight path? Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim, the path of those people Allah favors. In other words, Kitabullah has to go with Rijalullah. You can't understand Kitabullah on your own. You have to get the man of Allah. And those men is our rose, zikr Allah. When you see them, you think of Allah. When you see them, you see the life of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When Sahaba saw Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they had to admit, this is the man of Allah Ta'ala. And when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam guided them, then they came out of their darkness and Allah said, Rijal, these are men. If you want to become a man, don't think you are man when you can't control your gazes. Look at those men, that these are men all the time they had in front of them. يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارُ. When the eyeballs are going to turn and we stand in the court of Allah, and Allah is saying, I gave you my GPS, I gave you everything in detail. How did you get lost, my banda? So Allah Ta'ala is teaching us. And who are those men? أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ. The Anbiya came, they taught the people. Those people followed, they were successful. Sahaba were the greatest. And then they taught the Tabi'een. That was the day after them, they became the great followers. And then the Tabi Tabi'een, about 250 years, maybe less or more. That was the best period in the history of the world, not just in the history of Islam. In the history of the world, you couldn't get such a blessed period. And after that, we went off the track, we stopped following. But Allah said, when I told you, follow the man of Allah, I'll keep the man of Allah till before Qiyamah. Tell when Qiyamah has to come. So Allah says, Minan Nabiyeen, the Anbiya came. They went, you read their life and read the seerah of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Was Siddiqeen and the very, very pious, the king of all was Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. That he just accepted wholeheartedly what my Nabi said, even if I didn't hear it from his mouth. And Abu Jahl, who learned it from the mouth of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Mi'raj, and he thought, I'm going to tell Abu Bakr what this man is talking, he's mad, aliyazu billah. And then when he told the Hazrat Abu Bakr, he said that Abu Bakr got happy that it's not possible a human being goes on such a great journey. He says, you know who's saying it? Who's saying it? Muhammad. He says, if Muhammad's saying it, I'll accept it. It's even worse. If he says something more astonishing than that, I'll accept. And that occasion, that is Siddiq. That we don't ask, well, why this? Why must I keep a beard? Why must I keep this? My Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did it. And that is why when we, Allah said, was shuhada, the martyrs who gave their life for Allah. They didn't ask. When the Sahaba knew what is to give their life, they even threw their date one side and they gave their life to Allah Ta'ala. Allah says, in today's time, you still got wasaliheen. Follow the pious, righteous people. And those the muttaqeen, those who are the ashikeen, the lovers of Allah Ta'ala. You just follow them. Then you don't have to ask, what must I wear? What mustn't I wear? What kind of kurta I must wear? Look at the ashikeen. Who you make your beloved, your sheikh, who your heart turns to. Just follow his way of life. And then you'll see Allahu Akbar. You don't have to have questions and debate. Why this and why that? Your sheikh told you that? That is my sheikh. Sahaba, their greatest proof was, I saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam doing it. Today we are just not even pub squeaks and we want to have lot of going into a lot of tahqiqat. And I will research this masala and that masala. They have researched everything. They saw, I saw my sheikh and he saw his sheikh. And that is the way you have to follow. And don't make a sheikh somebody who doesn't have a sheikh. On occasion, a person came to our dada sheikh. And from an Arab country, then he said to Hazrat, that this certain person is my sheikh.
So Hazrat Hakim Sahab was very jovial. He says, who's your sheikh? Sheikh. Said, who is he sheikh? He says, I don't know. I don't think he's got a sheikh. So he told him in Arabic, La ta'khuzu baba malla baba lo. Don't take a father who hasn't got a father. So don't become an illegitimate child. So follow the right guide. Don't let the wrong guide. And then Allah made it even clearer that when you follow your sheikh in the beginning, your eyes of your heart are still not open. Your eyes of dunya is open. And يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. These kuffar know the outward things of dunya, so they're running behind it like mad people. So don't think Allah says غَيْرِ الْمَغْضُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الظَّالِينَ. Allah spelled it out in detail. Ra unki jin par tune fazal kiya, na unki jin par ghusla hua, aur na behekne walo ki. Allahu Akbar. That Allah says, oh Allah, I'm asking for that road, not the road of those your anger and your wrath is upon them, the Jews, and not those that have gone totally astray, the Christians. They say, we are following God, but their God is Isa alayhi salam. And they think they're following the right religion. And here, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned the two most dominant the nations in the world, so to say. Because though, even in the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these were most prevalent, but this is referring any lifestyle besides the lifestyle of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whether it's a Jewish lifestyle, whether it's a Christian, whether it's a Hindu, whether it's our own customs, whatever, we have to follow the straight path, which is the path of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not these people. And why Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stressed this? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stressed it in the Quran, in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Over and over. And why? لا يلدخل مؤمن في جهر مرتين. A Muslim doesn't fall in the same hole twice. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the Sahaba, Allahu Akbar, that the time is going to come. لَتَتَّبِعَنَّ شِبْرًا بِشِبْرٍ. You will follow that nation with a hand per stand per hand. And the slightest movement. حَتَّى لَوْ دَخَلَ جُهْرًا زُبِّنْ لَدَخَلْتُمُوهُ. So much that even if a person went into the hole of a lizard, a hypothetical example, you will do that. Sahaba asked, who this? Al Yahud wa Nasara. Oh, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you're talking of the Jews and Christians. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, who else? If they committed incest with your mother, you will commit incest. Today we are, this is the occasion we have reached. Yet, Allahu Akbar. In Muslims' home, this is happening because our guides and our leaders, they controlling the world. And we say they ruling the world. So if we don't stand with them, we don't have might, we don't have power. You have to stand with the government. Allah, then where is Allah? La ilaha illahu. Lahu alhamdu fil ula wal akhirah. Walahu alhukm. Walahu alhukm. All sovereignty belongs to Allah. And we are, Hazrat explained, myself, when we don't realize this reality, we stand on the minbar also. And we say, no, we can't oppose the government. And even if it's breaking the law of Allah, Allahu Akbar, how can you break the law of Allah and accept the laws of those? La ta'ata li makhluqin fi ma'siyatil khaliq. There's no obedience if the greatest people to respect is your parents. And if they tell you to obey, just obey Allah, then you're not allowed to respect them, or not respect, accept them, but respect them outwardly. But don't accept what they tell you to do. The law of Allah is the greatest. So that is why Allah stressed us over and over. And today, hook, line and sinker, we're following in them. They telling us the Abrahamic Accord, we accepting. They telling us interfaith conferences, we accepting. They telling us how to run the Haram Sharif, we accepting. And see where the ummah is going. We have to turn back to the sunnah of Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this is what we're begging from Allah Ta'ala in namaz. And now when we're begging Allah Ta'ala for this, we ask what is the straight path. Now look, one is you ask something, and somebody tells you this is it. Now if you don't, you take it, but you don't use it, how you have to use it? Then who you blame? You bought, a father bought for you a new BMW, and you go load four chickens in there, and you go load all dirt. What you say? Did I buy this for you? So Allah says, did I send my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam just example for you? I gave you Qur'an-i Kareem, and you're not following Qur'an-i Kareem. So we have to see. That is what Hazrat is saying here. Ye ardaas, Allah sahib ne apne bandon ki zuban se farmayi, ke jis waqt ji chahe uski tarah, is tarah kaha kare. That's Allah gave us this. beautiful way to ask Allah Ta'ala for our needs. Now whenever you desire, and Allah says, Sab'am minal masani, you can read Surah Fatiha millions of times, you'll never get tired. And think, I'm reading it, how long do I know what I'm asking from Allah? I'm just reading, tethered passion. So this is, Allah says, anytime, now you read Farz, now Nafal, so Sunnah, now Nafal, anytime, just ask Allah Ta'ala. You seek also, read this dua and Allah Ta'ala will turn His attention to you. And apne bandho ki zuban se farmaye, that Allah put it, we are, Allah is telling us what to ask. And Allah says, my banda, you asking from me. Allahu Akbar, what a boss. What Allah Ta'ala, no boss in the world is like that. Us tarah, baad uske ameen kehna. After that you say ameen softly. And this is sunnat. And these are not the words of Surah Fatiha. Yani, arz hamari kabool kar. What ameen means? Oh Allah, accept my dua that I have made. This is sunnat. Or yeh loves Quran ka nahi bil ittifaq. According to all the ulama, this is not the word of Quran Kareem, ameen. Thus we are taught by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say ameen. The malaika also say ameen when the imam finished. And when you reading alone, say ameen after you read this. Or namaz mein uske saath, then Hazrat explained, namaz mein understand. Ameen also realize, Hanafis have to say it softly, that you hear yourself. Shafis have to say it, not Ameen bil jahar, means that you just hear yourself, little loudly, maybe the person next to three people will hear you. Not Ameen bil azan. Many people are giving azan, Ameen. That is not the Ameen that we have to be saying. So anyway, we have to understand and learn our deen from the man of Allah. This is what Allah Ta'ala is saying. And then Allah says, that Hazrat is explaining now, that is not that you so engrossed, no, I was in the presence of Allah, but you don't know whether Surah Fatiha, what was the status, whether it was for us to read, what was it. So you don't know the masail, that means your namaz is not made. You have to know the masail, which is most important, but you have to have connection with Allah. Then you'll understand. So he's explaining here briefly, what is the masala here? Aur namaz uske saath ek surah aur milana, padhna surah fatiha ka aur milana ek aur surah ka wajib hai. To read surah fatiha and to add another surah after surah fatiha, it is wajib to read qiraat in namaz. Qiraat, general qiraat, that is three ayat or one ayat that is equal to three ayat, that is farz. But to read the surah fatiha according to Hanafis, that is wajib. And if you miss out Surah Fatiha, you forgot I didn't read Surah Fatiha, and you didn't learn how to perform you didn't learn the masail, you don't make sajda sahwa, your namaz will not be made. So that to learn all these masail are important. And according to the other mazhabs, they will know that the Shafis, etc., is necessary for them to read it. So, and then to add a surah after that is also important. Then Hazrat explained that you add a surah, and generally what surahs we read, Kul Wallahu Ahad. And we read this short surah. He says that I'll just explain, because it's filled with tawheed. It's filled with the oneness of Allah Ta'ala. And it's also the surah of ikhlas. When Allah comes in your heart, when one Allah comes, now you got the main one. Now whatever you do, it's not worth acceptance, but it will be a zero. It will be 10. And if you do another ibadat, another zero, it will be 100. And ilayhi yasadul kalimut tayyib. When kalima tayyiba enters the heart, then your actions will go up to Allah. And if you got no kalima tayyib in your heart, you can do all the good in the world. Where is this going to go up to Allah? And then where we like fools, you got iman, but you're saying a person who did lot of social welfare work, he didn't have iman, how can he be going to hell? Allah, where does he work? Where is his word? If you didn't accept Allah, where are you word to go to Jannah? So we have to understand and realize. And Allah taught us that stay away from such people. And Allah is, so He gave the brief explanation of Qul Huwallahu Ahad. But then further, we have to carry on. Now when you realize Allah is so kind, Allah is so merciful, in this few moments, Allah sends such mercies and such blessings. Me that I'm worth absolutely nothing. And I'm just totally in need of my Allah. And in front of the kings of kings, Allahu Akbar. Today to get one appointment by just an ordinary person, they'll tell you after 3 months, after 6 months. And that is also a big story. Here you're getting an appointment every day. Allah is giving us the appointment. Allah is calling us. And if we still don't come for this appointment, no security guard, no online, you have to apply online or anything. You don't have to pay any fee. And Allah is calling you. And when you realize, when you came in the court of Allah, according to how much marifat you got, according to how much love of Allah has entered your heart, jis waqt wo muflis inayat be nihayat, Allahu Akbar. That is now when you realize I'm the muflis, the most bankrupt person in my life. I am absolutely the most muhtaj. You can be the biggest king in the world, but you're totally in need of Allah. You are totally in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why Allah has shown, when you have taqwa in your heart, Allah says, come to my house. Now don't come to my house how you want to. You come with two plots of sheep. You come with your ihram on. And thus also Allah taught us, this is Sirati Mustaqim. Ask and Sirati Mustaqim, there's two methods. One is Iratu Tariq, which I explained, that you get your map and you just follow. That is, you get your map, there's road works, now you lost, you don't know how to follow. So if we want to follow Qur'an Kareem on our own, or Mufti Google we want to ask, then you'll get told, you think you're online, but you'll be offline. Follow the man of Allah, and that is also very simple. The man of Allah will teach you how to reach Allah Ta'ala. And as they said, Tanha nahi chal sakoge muhabbat ki raah mein. On the spot of the love of Allah, you can't walk alone. We are walking, hum chal rahe. We followed our elders. They showed us the road to Allah. You just walk behind me. So there's two ways. Either you're driving in a car behind, and you're following that person. That is easier, but it's also difficult. That now maybe it's raining, and then maybe one, two cars they overtake. Now you don't know which car, and it's getting dark. Now who I'm following? So that is why check which sheikh you take and stick to one sheikh. Your maqsad is Allah, and to get your maqsad you need one way. There are many mashayikh, but see who your heart takes to. And then the easiest way, when you get connected to your sheikh and you realize this is the man that will take me to Allah, just hold his hand. When he holds his hand, it's like a person, now you tell him, I want to go to this place. If you go to a wrong sheikh, like you ask one person in Natal, that I want to go to this place, he'll tell you to go straight, turn right, turn left, and carry on right and get lost. So don't follow a person like that. When you follow a man of Allah, he'll tell you, just come regular to the majlis and see, just look at their life. When you come to the majlis, keep your eyes open, your ears open, keep your mouth closed, and see what they are doing. And then you don't have to ask what clothes I have to wear, how I have to do this, how. You just follow your mashayikh and see. That is like you holding their hands. A person will tell you, I am going to that place, just jump in my car. And now you jumped in his car, you dream you somewhere else, I'm in America, but you see, yeah, I'm reaching Jannat. Naqshe qadam Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam kehe Jannat ki raaste. Now when you see Allah gave me all this beautiful way and how to reach Allah so easy, like a pious servant says, oh Allah, you so great, it's impossible to get you. But oh Allah, you are so merciful, you are so kind, you are so generous, that although it's impossible for anybody to get you and to build connection with you, but you didn't make yourself so expensive. You made yourself so easy that Allah says, "Kunu mastadikin, be with my righteous, pious servant." So now when you realize Allah inayat bani hayat, Allah's unlimited favors upon me, every split moment, it's unimaginable what are the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who is Allah? Us bacha ali ja ki maloom kar. Now you came to understand what is the great favors of Allah Rabbul Izzat. What is the mercies of Allah? Whatever I want, where I'm running to, this doctor, this lawyer, that one, nobody can help me. I have to run. Where is the route? Where I will get it from? Now you realize, bari ta'zeem se aru posi karke, جھکاتے ہیں اور کہتے ہیں سبحان ربی العظیم, پاک ہے میرے صاحب بڑی عظمت والا. Now the second lesson of ruku, qawma and sajda. And now the third lesson, now when you realize how kind is my Allah, how magnificent, Allah allowed me in His court. Now you are overtaken, Allahu Akbar. Now you just want to, so to say, kiss the feet of Allah. When you realize you went to interview, this boss said, I'm going to interview you. After that he said, no, you got the job, I'm going to give you this perk, that, I'm going to give you a share in my business. Now you want to kiss His feet. Where is anybody? Allah is the King of Kings. Allah give us tawfiq, understanding. Subhanallah.